Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Earlier in this week, you heard news on SDPB News about the South Dakota Fusion Center, and it's an organization that compiles, analyzes, and disseminates criminal intelligence to support terrorism prevention and the investigation of criminal activity. Well, what all does that exactly mean? The group's director is Paul Niedringhaus, and he joins us now to explain. Paul, welcome back to In the Moment.
Thank you, Lori. It's good to be back. Thanks.
One of the interesting things about hearing news about the National Fusion Center was a lot of people saying, what is that? So we said, we'll get Paul on and we'll explain what exactly this Fusion Center is. Tell us a little bit about the National Fusion Center system and then what the local presence is like, please.
Sure. Well, you kind of described this very well, kind of in a nutshell, but there is a National Fusion Center network, and that network, national, is set up to support the fusion centers within each state, and there's a total of, I believe, 78 or 79 fusion centers in the United States now. Every state is mandated to have a fusion center, but obviously some of the bigger jurisdictions and cities sometimes will have their own fusion center. And as you described, really what we do is we compile, analyze, and disseminate criminal intelligence to support the prevention and investigation of criminal activity within the state of South Dakota, but also in the prevention of terrorism activity within the state of South Dakota. So kind of in a nutshell, that's what we do. The question that you ask is, I get that quite often, and even from law enforcement sometimes within the state, we get that question of what is the Fusion Center and what do you do? And so I'm new to the Fusion Center. I just started the first of the year, so that's part of, you know, my job is to do some outreach and to get out into communities and get out into law enforcement and let them know of what we can, what we do and what we can do to, for them.
How long have these fusion centers been in place? When was this effort started nationally?
Well, nationally it was started after the terrorist activities of 9/11. And I think we all are aware of the story and the understanding of the intelligence and how there was kind of a stovepipe of intelligence throughout the country where there maybe was one federal agency that had information, was not sharing it with another federal agency. And the locals, state and local governments were left off and had trouble sharing intelligence back and forth. So ultimately, through a lot of studies and review, it was determined that fusion centers needed to be stood up. So there's that kind of a nexus and kind of that hub to gather this information. And a big piece of that is the sharing with the federal government. And within our fusion center in South Dakota, we have a full-time analyst through Department of Homeland Security, an intelligence officer, that sits in with us and shares that information with us, the federal information as it comes through, and gives us the ability then to turn around and share that with our partners in the state. And ultimately, that's why the fusion centers were stood up. So there is that really that communication that goes both up and down, and truly that's what's important and critical, that we are sharing information amongst each other.
It seems like there is so much information to be shared, and whenever there is a crisis in America, from a mass shooting comes to mind, where people are looking into who was, you know, what was the intel on this and was it acted on? So my question is, with so many different areas to look into, not only in South Dakota, but getting this national data and national intel, how are things sort of, you know, is the manpower adequate? How are things sorted so that the right priorities are followed up on and you can do everything you can to be successful and effective?
Right. Well, each state and what we do in South Dakota, and every state looks at the critical needs within the state. What are our biggest threats? What are the biggest threats to the critical infrastructure within the state? And those are the things that we look at. And you mentioned school shootings. Obviously, for all the right reasons, it's getting a lot of attention. And looking at now prevention, what are some things that can be done within the community, within law enforcement, to prevent those incidences from occurring? And what you're seeing are a lot of different tip lines, within each state. In South Dakota, the Attorney General's office started Project Stand Up, where people can anonymously call in and report information. What we're seeing is every state is starting that, and it's having a lot of success and generating a lot of positive feedback with information coming in. But that's part of the job that we have, is to look at that information and to get it to those local agencies that are impacted so they're made aware. So hopefully, you know, things can be prevented before they start and before they occur.
Now, you said you've been there since January. You have experience with the Minnehaha County Sheriff's Department and with Metro Communications. You've worked with a lot of different agencies in your career, and I'm sure that's one of the things that you brought to the table in this new role. Is this different for you? Is this sort of what is always the sort of interagent communication and collaboration has always been part of what you do, or is this on a slightly different scale? And if so, how is it different?
Well, you're right, yeah. And for me, it's about relationships, and it's those relationships that you build throughout your career. And I feel like the reason that places that I have been, the Sheriff's Office, Minnehaha County Sheriff's Office in Sioux Falls, Metro Communications, I feel that those departments and agencies, we did well because of the relationships that we were able to build. And I have brought the same thing to the Fusion Center. I feel very comfortable walking into sheriff's offices throughout the state and police departments, and at the state level and the federal level, people that I've dealt with my entire career, to be able to go in, see what their needs are, and also to see what our needs are so we can help each other. And it truly is a collaborative effort between all of us. And we're very fortunate to live in a state like South Dakota where we as law enforcement, we know each other. And it's not just within our city or county or our neighboring counties. It's throughout the whole state. And by building those relationships, it just enhances our ability to do our job and truly to support them. And that's a big piece of what we do at the Fusion Center, is to show them that we have additional resources. We have things that we can provide them in criminal cases when they're working, and in those critical times where time is of the essence, where they don't have time to do some of that research and to get on the computer and to look for things, that we can do that.
You mentioned, you know, kind of evaluating and prioritizing the biggest threats, and I'm wondering about how average citizens participate in any kind of, you know, efforts to keep people safe. When you look at some of the areas that are important in South Dakota right now, are there ways that regular citizens are contributing to, you know, some kind of intel collection or some kind of prevention of you know, bad things happening throughout the state? Do you get what I'm kind of asking there?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I think the biggest piece is when they see something, that is to report it, you know, to report that suspicious activity. And that's what we're seeing not only in South Dakota but throughout the country. They have the ability to report that to us. They have the ability to go to, you know, encourage them to call 911 to report to their local law enforcement agency that suspicious activity. And that's where the prevention comes in, to make those first initial phone calls and generate a lot of things happening behind the scenes then that we can start putting the pieces together. And kind of in essence, that's what we do at the Fusion Center, is we truly connect the dots. That just something that might seem a little odd to you, but you start looking at that, and we could maybe look at a couple other pieces of information that came in previously. We start connecting the dots to say, hey, we see a pattern here, and then we can build from that and hopefully get that again to the local agency, law enforcement agency, to allow them to intervene and to make those preventions. But truly it is the public are that eyes and ears for law enforcement to, again, prevent crime, but also after it happens to say, hey, I was aware of this. I did see that person or I did see that vehicle. So it's critical for us.
We're talking with Paul Niederhaus. He's the director of the South Dakota Fusion Center, and you're listening to In the Moment on SDPB Radio. And, Paul, as I looked at a lot of Fusion Center data online, I noticed a focus on privacy and protection of civil liberties and how that connects with the intel gathering that you do. Tell me the priority of that in your office and how it is sort of dealt with.
Definitely. You know, that's throughout the country has really drawn a lot of attention, and rightfully so. And just like that, we have here, we have a privacy policy that we adhere to at the Fusion Center, and we want to make sure that we're protecting everybody's First Amendment rights. And it's very strict for us. The information that we receive, we can utilize that, when we can share that information, because we want to make sure that we're protecting the rights of the citizens, and part of that is the protection of their First Amendment rights. So what you've seen is that each Fusion Center does have a very strict policy on their privacy policy, what they can and can't disseminate, so to make sure that everybody's rights are protected.
Tell me what kind of training you have and how those connections nationally are fostered and maintained.
Yeah, within Fusion Centers, obviously there's not a lot throughout the country. I just got back last week from Madison, Wisconsin, where I spent a couple days meeting with some of the central states Fusion Center directors. So a meeting of 11 different states that the analysts and the directors get together, and we share best practices, help each other out. Very small group of directors, and being new in this environment, I was given support by everybody there to say, hey, don't be afraid to reach out, make a phone call if you do have questions. Or you get into that major incident and you need help, you reach out to us. We can provide assistance from their Fusion Center. And in essence, that's really what we do in law enforcement. We help each other out. So it is a very small community. We do get together to train and talk about different areas, how we can do things better, and surely that's what I'm looking at now coming into this role is what are our operations? How can we improve those? How can we provide a better service? Mm.
Tell me about this idea of local analysis and how the insight that can be provided by people who live and work right here in South Dakota that maybe has been absent before in that collaborative effort. Why does local analysis of intel matter?
Well, you're absolutely right. What we are impacted on is what occurs within our community day in and day out. And we need that information not only from law enforcement to come in, but also from the community to come in. So, again, that we can connect those dots, in essence, to solve crimes and also prevent crimes. And that's critical. And I think communities as a whole are getting more involved. We're very fortunate to live in a state like we do in South Dakota, where people aren't afraid to call 911 and to support their local law enforcement. So we're very lucky to live in a place that we do.
I'm sure there's some of this you can't tell us, but what can you tell us about some of the biggest threats right now, things that that deserve focus here in South Dakota? What can you say publicly?
Well, I mean, you look at the state of South Dakota, and I think anybody that has lived there for any amount of time knows kind of what the state is known about. I mean, you look at on the west side of the of South Dakota with Mount Rushmore, then you start looking at some of the other critical infrastructure within the state that supports our economy is very critical. Those are things that we're always looking at. You look at how vulnerable those locations are. And working with the local law enforcement to make sure that they're aware of that, things like that, and kind of always looking to, again, to see how we can do things better, how we can better protect the state and the citizens within the state.
How much has this, the way you do your job, changed in your career? You have to have seen just seismic shifts in data collection and analysis.
Yeah, exactly. It really has. And from the advent after 9/11 to the stand-up of Fusion Centers, South Dakota started its Fusion Center in 2006, and it's grown from its inception to where it started with one person and slowly building to where we're at today. Law enforcement has changed so much, and I think the advent of technology, obviously, has really changed law enforcement and how we do things, and it impacts how we at the Fusion Center do things, obviously, but it improves our efficiency, how we do things, but and also brings in new crime, like cybercrime, that impacts every state in the country, and something that we are getting more involved in now today.
And yet, all about relationships still.
It really is. Yeah. I mean, truly, it is about relationships, and it helps us, and that's a big part of what we do at the Fusion Center, is building on those relationships and then leaning on those relationships when we need things.
Paul Niedringhaus, thank you so much for information about the South Dakota Fusion Center. We appreciate your time. We'll see you next time.
You bet. Thank you, Lori.